You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
A warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Football Writers Association podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined on the line by John Cross, the Daily Mirror's chief football writer, to discuss the live televised Premier League games this weekend, which of course includes the North London Derby at White Hart Lane, which kicks off at 4:30 on Sunday. First of all, a warm welcome to John, who joins me on the line right now. Good afternoon to you, John.
Very good afternoon to you, Dave. Nice to be with you.
How are you, first of all?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I can feel we're coming to the end of the season. I'm still a little bit heavy in my legs. But I tell you what, it's the business end now, isn't it? And I do think there's something on every single game at the moment, it seems to be, whether it's kind of battle for top four, fight against relegation. And I do think it's a really exciting point of the season.
Did you manage to catch any of the Manchester Derby last night?
Yes, and I was distinctly underwhelmed.
Me
I have
too.
To say. I mean, I think the game clearly developed into a bit of a war of attrition. I think United were a little bit more ambitious than they ended up with at the start, but I think it was when it became clear to Jose Mourinho that perhaps they couldn't win it. He was determined not to lose it. Sat back and did a particular sort of kind of thing that we're used to Mourinho doing, which was parking the bus and kind of defending deep and well. And I just think that City just didn't do enough, in my view, to go and win the game. And I do think that City can only have themselves to blame for that because I think that United were there for the taking. And some of the performances, I think, from United, I mean, De Gea looked, assured yet again. I thought was outstanding in central defence, and Antonio Valencia, he's just almost one of the unsung heroes of United season. Valencia is excellent.
Yeah, I like Ander Herrera as well. I think he's really excelled this season under Jose Mourinho, because under Van Gaal he wasn't really getting the opportunity, and he's clearly a player that's inspired by playing in front of the crowds at Old Trafford, and obviously the away fans when they're on the road as well.
Yeah, he's a niggly player, isn't he? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it actually as a compliment, because I think every effective team actually has one of those where basically, he gets stuck in, he does the nitty-gritty work. I mean, his man-marking job of Eden Hazard a couple of weeks ago against Chelsea was outstanding. And he's always got something, I think, to offer. And I think that sort of, again, yet again, he made life difficult. He broke up the play, didn't allow City to get going. And also the other aspect of his play is obviously that incredible energy and work rate that he has that carries him into the opposition box. I think with a little bit more composure, he has a first half header, doesn't he? That really, I think that, a little bit more luck and perhaps a little bit more composure and time, he buries, because it is a big chance, which he just couldn't direct it goalwards.
Let's talk about the weekend football and the latest betting here with William Hill. We start on Saturday evening with Crystal Palace versus Burnley. And at Crystal Palace are 4-5, the draw 23-10 with Burnley in the betting at 4-1. Crystal Palace have been much better recently under Sam Allardyce. I think the narrative at the end of the season might be about Big Sam coming in and saving Crystal Palace. But they've never been in any serious danger, John, this season. I think the shortest price they traded at to be relegated was 11-4. So that narrative, if it does bear fruit at the end of the season, might be slightly misleading.
Yeah, it might be, Dave. The only thing I thought about that was that, they haven't spent any particular length of time in the relegation zone. But I do think there was a period of time, I think February around then, when It felt as if Allardyce hadn't done enough work in the transfer window as much as he would have liked. And I still think they were a little bit inconsistent. It's all, we began questioning Allardyce as basically still got a hangover from what happened with the England job. Could he work his magic again? Could he maintain his reputation not being relegated? And I felt that he just had that spin of results, which I think was highlighted by the fact that sort of he had the few on the trot. And I think that as impressive as any were was the win at West Brom. And I think that sort of kind of sums it up, how they were really strong at the back, dangerous on the counter-attack. They obviously, they've since gone on to beat Arsenal and Liverpool. And, you know, they've got some really good sort of kind of performances and wins in them. And I think Allardyce has proved then again that he's just the master of what he does, which is set up a team hard to beat, difficult to break down, employs wingers and wide players, likes pace and directness up front. And I just think they are very, very well organised unit, particularly, you know, sort of very noticeable Allardyce sort of unit there, how he sort of kind of mixes sort of kind of, you know, grit and determination with a little bit of class. And I think he's got very much got the best out of Palace. And once they went on that winning run, they quickly moved away from danger. And I do think Allardyce, yet again, has really proved that he's got the measure of the Premier League.
And it looks as if Burnley are going to go through the entire season, or they could do, without winning away from home, but still survive in the Premier League, which just goes to show how strong they've been at Turf Moor this season. Burnley on their travels... it's not been lucrative to follow them from a betting perspective this season, Sean.
No, it hasn't been. And you do wonder, I think, and I was thinking about this before I came on the basis, I just feel that Burnley will get one away win before the end of the season. It's just a question of where it comes. But I think that they flirted with it at Liverpool, where they played quite well. They definitely made life difficult for Arsenal at the Emirates. And they've had a few near misses, and I think they played okay at Spurs. But it's just basically I think they're slightly unlucky. But it's impossible to fathom how a team can be so resolute at home, so, you know, really weak away from home. And I do think that run has got to end sometime. And the only thing I would say about this fixture is that Palace played Wednesday night. They were pushed to the limit. And I think there'll be some weary legs there. I'd still fancy Palace, but I think this has got a little bit of a warning sign that basically Burnley have just had that extra edge, having not played since Sunday. So they've got the extra sort of kind of rest. And at this stage of the season, I think that can make a difference. So while I personally would still fancy Palace, I do think that win will come sooner or later away from home for Sean Dyche's men.
Okay, Palace to win that game at 4-5. On to Sunday's televised games, and we'll start with the match at Old Trafford, Manchester United versus Swansea. Manchester United 2-5, the draw 7-2, Swansea 7-1. We've talked briefly about Manchester United and about that Manchester derby midweek. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Jose Mourinho and his treatment of some of the players this season, and how outspoken he's been publicly about the players as well. He's almost criticised them of maybe not trying hard enough, but not being willing to sacrifice their, from a physical standpoint, sacrifice themselves for the team. He's talked about the players being a little bit weak, shall we say, John?
Yeah, he has. And I think different players can be treated in different ways. And I don't mind a manager sort of kind of tailoring sort of treatment, really. And kind of sometimes you need a bit of tough love. I think Luke Shaw is a case in point. Obviously, he's come on the receiving end of it. And I think Luke Shaw sometimes, I think the criticism there is whether he has the sort of the strength of mentality to succeed at a big club. And maybe Mourinho's really sort of trying to sort of kind of put a rocket up his backside, if you like, on that one. And I don't know whether that's going to work with Luke Shaw, because I think he is quite a, I don't know, fragile player, shall we say. I wonder how much that injury has taken out of his confidence and his belief, let alone physically. But I do feel where I think that he's been unfair, I think, Mourinho, is perhaps on someone like Smalling or Jones, where I think he is sort of this week, he said that if they've got anything about them effectively, they'll make sure that they'll push themselves to the limit and maybe even put themselves in contention to take the pressure off some of their teammates on Thursday night. You're talking about, you know, different examples there. I mean, you know, blimey, one's had a metatarsal and sort of, yeah. The other ones, you know, had an actual injury. And we're not talking about players who kind of could push themselves if they're feeling a little bit of a strain. We are talking about players who've had actual injuries. And I think that Mourinho sometimes puts himself on a collision course, and you have to read the sort of the underlying signs of that. Because I felt that if you were sort of Smalling or Jones, I think you'd worry about your long-term future at United. That, for me, comes across as a manager saying, I'm not sure about you. Mm. Basically, I'm not sure whether you're fitting into my plans. And I think that that underlying message would worry me, to a huge degree if I was Smalling or Jones, because he's questioning their professionalism, their desire, and also that I guess their willingness to play under him as a manager. And I do think for one or both of them, I think that the writing on the wall has to be on the wall for them.
It'd be interesting to see the movement in the summer transfer window then, as that's concerned, John. As far as this match is concerned, do you think Manchester United have obviously had too many draws at Old Trafford this season? That goes without saying. And Swansea coming into this on the back of a win last weekend as well. Even though Hull got that win, they wouldn't have been able to believe it stepping off the pitch, having not made inroads into Hull. Do you think Manchester United have got enough to beat Swansea or not?
Well, they should have, but again, I would say the recovery time is this. Recovery is always the buzzword amongst any Premier League manager at this stage of the season. And I was just intrigued by your odds, and I just flagged that up again. I mean, 7-1, wasn't it, for Swansea to win?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a price, isn't it? I mean, look, you'd have to say that they were underdogs, but wow, I was really surprised, simply because I think this. We are talking now, we're not just talking about a team that is battling for their lives, basically, and fighting for survival. We are talking about a team that is fighting for their lives. They are running out of time. It is do or die. And now they're suddenly thrust into a game at Man United, whereby Man United have been fairly consistent of late. But they have got some tired legs. They played on Thursday. They played the Europa League semi-final the following Thursday. And Mourinho, I think, will have to rest and rotate again and has got fresh injuries. So I just think that this one has got alarm bells written all over it for United. And I just think it's worth a little look. I still fancy United. You'd have to. But I just think that might be worth a little sort of kind of flag up as a result, particularly bearing in mind those odds for Swansea. And it's do or die, as I say, for Paul Clement.
It is. Everton versus Chelsea next, John. Everton 14-5 to win this game. The draw 12-5 with Chelsea at even money. Huge game for Chelsea, this one, because if they win, maybe even if they pick up a point here, it will be good enough for Chelsea to go on and win the title, because their running is just what dreams are made of if you're a Chelsea fan. The 4 points clear going into this weekend. The remaining fixtures: home games against Middlesbrough, Watford and Sunderland, and an away game against West Brom. You couldn't have mapped this out any better if you're a Chelsea fan.
Exactly right, Dave. And that's why I think I'm inclined to go for a draw in this game, because Everton are very, very strong at home. And I think the one thing that Chelsea won't want to do, and I do, also flag this up now, they've conceded in their 11 last Premier League games. Mm. They haven't kept a clean sheet now since the back end of January in the league. And I do think that they are prone to concede, but I don't think they'll lose the game. I think previously, if Chelsea had gone ahead in games, then they see it out, and the very least they do is win it 1-0. But they just seem to have been disturbed in their defensive stability and perhaps their belief a little bit. But I think you rightly point out that a draw wouldn't be the end of the world for Conte, even if Spurs win, because of that running. I mean, the basic what Chelsea have to do is pure and simple, is that they have to win four of their last five games. It might be less than that, because Spurs are on this incredible winning run themselves, but are they going to win all their games? Well, we'll wait and have to see on that one. But I just feel that they have got a result to spare, if you like. And those three home games for Chelsea are an absolute given, surely. Yeah. And so therefore, I just feel that perhaps they'll draw at Goodison. That they're not that convincing at the moment, Chelsea, defensively. I was at the game with Southampton in the week, and as good as they are going forward, Hazard in particular, Fabregas controlling midfield, the back, they just don't look as sound and as secure as they did earlier in the season.
12-5, the draw in the game. Just before we move on to the North London derby, quick word on Romelu Lukaku, because he's been in sensational form this season, and particularly at Goodison. He's scored in every one of Everton's 9 home matches in 2017 at Goodison. And there's rumour that he might be making the switch to Stamford Bridge in the summer for Chelsea. Does he have to prove that he's not a flat-track bully, Romelu Lukaku? Because that's what's labelled at him year after year.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. I mean, I must say, I like him because he's... I know that Chelsea... I think this has got a great one, a chance of happening, actually, in the summer. Lukaku right. back to Chelsea, I really do. But I think there's been a lot of admirers of Lukaku in recent times. I know the price tag on his head perhaps was about 65 million last summer, but that never occurred. And that part of the reason was that, I think, was his, you know, poor form and poor performances, I think, in relative terms at the Euros. And therefore, I do think that the bigger clubs have to look at it and see, well, can he do it against the top-class opposition? And I do think that that would be the accusation against Lukaku, because all the attributes are there. He's got power, he's got pace, he can roll defenders like very few other centre-forwards can in the Premier League and bully them. And I think that that will be interesting to see. I think Conte will really have a look at this to see whether he can bully his defenders, because, you know, I think that will be a real big test for them. I actually fancy Lukaku to score, because it just always works out that way. But I do think Lukaku's still got something to prove as a really top striker and someone kind of that you pay £80 million plus for, because I think that would be the price.
6-4, Lukaku to score any time on Sunday. That brings us to the North London derby, Spurs versus Arsenal at White Hart Lane. Tottenham 17-20, the draw 14-5 with Arsenal 16-5. Enhanced odds offers, Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win was 11-5, now 5-2. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. John, you've obviously got an affinity with Arsenal and with Arsene Wenger, having written or ghost-written Arsene Wenger's autobiography. But there's definitely been a power shift in North London now between Spurs and Arsenal. And I've been discussing with a few people, just when you take the starting 11s of both sides as they stand right now, how many of those Arsenal players would get into that Spurs starting 11?
I think it's a great question, this. And I personally think Petr Cech would still have a chance. I think that's quite level with Lloris. I think Koscielny would.
Yeah,
I think Sanchez. I think Koscielny. People might sort of say, "Well, are you sure about that?" I think Koscielny alongside Alderweireld would be pretty awesome. I think he'd still get in ahead of Dier or Vertonghen. Koscielny's a good player.
Yeah.
I think Sanchez would, as we mentioned. And now look, this is at the heart of the matter, right? That I think that Ozil, hear me out on this one, might get in ahead of Eriksen.
Right.
But you couldn't possibly argue that at the moment. And what I mean by that is that Pochettino has just established himself as someone who pushes players on and really coaches and coaxes the best out of them. And I think what he's done for the English players, and indeed also Eriksen, has just been remarkable. Eriksen had a dip, you know, sort of, you know, perhaps at the start of this season, last season. But the way he's come back recently, I think, makes him outstanding. And I just feel that it feels like to me that Ozil, we shouldn't forget, this is a guy who's won the World Cup, Ozil. He's a world-class player and has been Germany's player of the year for 5 of the last 6 seasons. So where is it all happening with Arsenal? I think Arsenal fans have got every right to say, well, what's happened to Ozil? You know, it's an incredible, you know, mystery to play, you know, to people, I think, to fans when Ozil goes missing. Ozil's got all the raw ingredients. Ozil should be a better player, you know, bearing in mind his quality and class and pedigree than Eriksen. But as it happens at the moment, Eriksen surely starts ahead of Ozil, but I think that that is almost the heart of the matter, that Pochettino is coaching and managing better at this point in time than Arsene Wenger. And I think that Spurs have been making huge strides back to catching Arsenal. I mean, it is 20 years, and you know, I was at Arsene Wenger's press conference on Friday morning, and Arsene Wenger was making the point, well, you know, basically, we talk about balance of power and shift of power, but this will be 1 year, if indeed they do it, out of 20. Mm. So let's see them do it for 20 years. Well, and he's got a point, you know, but I do think that Pochettino at the moment is in the upward trajectory, coaching players brilliantly, assembling a team, getting a fantastic dressing room spirit together, and everything you see at Tottenham at the moment, including the squad and the players, puts Tottenham ahead of Arsenal. And you'd say if football goes in cycles, as it generally does, then brace yourself, Arsenal fans, because I think it could potentially be a painful 4 or 5 years to come.
We've spoken on this podcast on numerous occasions about Arsene Wenger and whether his time at Arsenal is coming to an end. It does appear as if there's going to be 2 more years of Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, it does, Dave. I must point out that actually it was a biography rather than an autobiography. So kind of, I always like to apologise. It's fine. I only mentioned that simply because I like to think it was balanced. And believe you me, I think his first 10 years were absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And I think that he, you know, the book is almost, you know, split into two sections about kind of the first fabulous 10 years and about then kind of, the move to the Emirates, the difficult times. And he's come out the other side. And I thought he'd come out the other side when he signed Ozil, because there's more money to hand in 2013. Then he signed Sanchez in 2014 and basically Czech took 2015. And then last summer, they did actually spend close to £100 million on players. Mm. But in Xhaka and Mustafi, they were poor buys. I think they've been disappointing, underwhelming so far. Xhaka, I still think that, you know, he could turn it around. I think there's something there. But I do think that basically, generally, it hasn't been good money spent. And I think more crucially than that, I think that it just feels like, because the fans have turned to a degree, once you lose the fans, there's no way back. The fans, and I'm not blaming the fans in any way for that, because the fans are entitled to their say, and the fans are getting frustrated. But I just don't know whether a manager or indeed a team can thrive and succeed in such a difficult atmosphere, against such a difficult backdrop. And I think once you lose the fans, then I do think it's time for change. To me, it feels stale. Mm. It feels as if you need a new manager, a new, fresh, you know, pair of eyes on it, really. Some new impetus, some new players. And I just think Wenger will be Arsenal's greatest ever manager. I don't know how anyone can match his 20 years of sheer consistency. But having said all that, I just think he should go out as a hero. I think already he is in danger slightly of tarnishing that. But if he stays on for 2 years, I think it'll be such a big mistake. And I think he'll live to regret it.
What's your gut feeling about this weekend's clash against Spurs then?
Oh, my gut feeling is definitely that Spurs will win. Yeah. I just think that they've got too much energy. They've got too much pace. I love what they do kind of in the wide areas. So basically they use almost their fullbacks, particularly when they play a back three, as kind of auxiliary wingers. They push on, they stretch teams, particularly at White Hart Lane. They overwhelm teams. And I think Arsenal, even though they look a little bit more secure with their own back three, I just don't feel at the moment that Arsenal, despite having won, you know, big games recently, I do feel that Arsenal won't be able to contain them. And I think that is the biggest thing, that Arsenal won't be able to keep a clean sheet. And I just don't think Arsenal have enough belief from deep within, even though some confidence has been restored, to go and get a really positive result.
17-20 Spurs to win that game at White Hart Lane on Sunday. And we finished the weekend, John, with Watford versus Liverpool at Vicarage Road. This is an 8 p.m. kickoff on Monday night, and Watford are 11-2 to win the game. The draw 16-5 with Liverpool in the betting at 1-2. If Liverpool miss out on that top four spot, it looks like they might just edge third or fourth, perhaps. But it was a damaging result last weekend against Crystal Palace, and the last couple of months for Jurgen Klopp haven't been maybe as successful as he anticipated. How do you think Jurgen Klopp will look back at this season at Liverpool?
Well, I think he'll still view it as a work in progress. I mean, I must say, I think just to offer some context, at the start of the season, we were always, you know, asked for our predictions. And, you know, as part of that, you know, I put my name to Liverpool finishing fourth. And a few people sort of said, blimey, Liverpool top four? And it was just seen as a long shot. And I think Liverpool fans, you know, always back their manager. And I think they'd stay very loyal. They're good fans, I think. You'd want them on their, on your side. And I just feel that actually, to offer it some context, I just think that kind of you have to give Klopp a bit of time. It's his first full season, we shouldn't forget. You know, he came in midway through the previous campaign. So I do think it's still a job of work there to be done. So I think their results haven't been, I know they obviously had the slip up, but they won at Stoke, they beat Burnley when they didn't play particularly well. But it was obviously post-Christmas, post-New Year, that basically they really went on that bad dip. And you know, they had injuries with Coutinho, Mane at the African Nations Cup, and Lallana had been slightly, you know, failed to recapture his early form. And then, you know, Henderson's been sort of slightly in and out with injuries all season. And I still think that, you know, Liverpool have a great chance of finishing in the top four. But I think one thing that is noticeable is that whenever they have the pressure put on them, I think they seem to almost get the willies a little bit. And I think that they basically, they'll know what they have to do by Monday. And I think, again, if Arsenal pile on the pressure, if Man United pile on the pressure, if Man City pile on the pressure, how will they react? And I think that will be an interesting barometer of where Liverpool's nerve is at, and indeed where they can finish in the top four. I think the odds, yet again, it's fascinating, by the way, because Watford, long odds to win at home. And Watford give teams a game if it could road. And, you know, generally the bigger clubs have come away from there having survived the scare at some point in the game intact. But I do think Liverpool at the moment, with a little bit of maybe belief issues, a little bit of, you know, can we still finish in the top four? I think that again, you know, kind of would be the biggest doubt and the biggest question for me.
What scoreline are you going for?
Having said all that, I think it will be Watford 1, Liverpool 2.
2-1 to Liverpool.
I still think they'll nick it, but I think this is all about Liverpool and their mentality, and can they realistically finish in the top four? It seems to me, just as soon as you mention the top four, some of the players lose their nerve. And I think the biggest challenge facing Klopp will be to remind the players that we just need to win our games and concentrate on ourselves. If we do that, we're in top four. And I genuinely believe that I still think that Liverpool will finish top four.
7-1 Liverpool to win the game by 2-1. John, I take it you're at White Hart Lane at the weekend?
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. I do. This is my favourite fixture, I think, of a season, really, as much as anything. And I think that particularly much more than the game at the Emirates, really, simply because I love White Hart Lane. I love going there. I think the atmosphere is raw. The fans are right on top of the pitch. I think it's always a brilliant occasion. And I, for one, I really miss the old White Hart Lane. I think it will be a really sad day in many ways, I think, when the old stadium goes and it's replaced. I know it'll be a magnificent new place, new arena, but I do think that you could not find a more old school ground in the country than White Hart Lane. It's had some wonderful memories, wonderful, you know, years sort of growing up as a kid in North London. And I do think I, for one, will miss it.
That's the subplot, I suppose, this weekend, isn't it, as well? It's Spurs' last ever North London derby against Arsenal in White Hart Lane, as it is now. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. And we shouldn't underestimate that, because I feel that that buzz, that atmosphere, and it can be poisonous at times. So I don't want to completely glorify it. Some of the abuse that the managers and the players down the years has been horrendous. But it's also been mixed in with fantastic memories and great times. You know, Arsenal, the Invincibles won the title there in 2004. Arsenal clinched the double 1971 there. You know, the Spurs thrashing Arsenal sort of, you know, years ago. And, you know, that Liam Brady won the goal. Spurs, just honestly, it's just an amazing place. And I don't think that even at Highbury, the atmosphere matched it, you know, when Arsenal played and hosted Spurs. I think the special game has always been that game at White Hart Lane. I like new stadiums, and I know football has to move on, but I don't half miss the old ones because I think they're really special, and there's no more special place in the fabric of English football than White Hart Lane.
John, it's always a pleasure speaking to you on this podcast. Enjoy White Hart Lane on Sunday, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Really look forward to it. Thanks ever so much, Dave.
If you want to follow John on Twitter, you can. At John Cross Mirror is John's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Do check out all the betting for the Premier League weekend at williamhill.com. And we'll be back with more chat on the FWA podcast next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.